toll, also es freut mich. Also das ist noch in der Entwicklung, aber es gibt auch Sachen wie Dual, das ist ein modulares Environment, das ist schon, wenn man jetzt eben hier so auf Create oder so steht, dann findet man das wahrscheinlich auch. Und wenn man sich mal Reaper finde ich auch sehr gut. Reaper ist eine Software für Windows, ne? Ist nicht open source, ist closed, kostet sogar Geld.
Ja, genau.
Kostet mit der nicht kommerziellen Lizenz 39 Euro. Ist aber
das perfekteste Audio-Programm.
Reaper, alles, was ein Audio-Programm braucht, von Convolution Reverb, also falls jetzt irgendwas sagt, ist so Timeline-Unterstützung, alles. Das ist der Hammer. Und, du kannst selbst die Shareware-Version, das ist eine Shareware, die kannst du unbegrenzt nutzen, ohne dass es dich nervt. Das ist nicht zustellen. Ja, das ist Reaper. Der Typ hat auch, auch einige Ressourcen. Der hat echt viel Angst. Zum Beispiel, was irgendwie auch ganz viel mehr schichtig arbeitet und dann halt sagt, Steinberg sagt, also sagt, ich darf es Hedda nicht liefern, Paul sagt, du darfst es nicht mit Faust liefern. Also haben wir zwei eigentlich, die gegen uns quasi arbeiten. So, obwohl wir eigentlich offen sein wollen, aber so ist es halt schwer. In dem Fall ist sogar die GPL jetzt den Standard für Audio. Ich muss alle möglichen Sachen zulassen. Also geschickt ist es zum Beispiel, wenn ich ein Hosting-Programm wie ADA mache. Das muss offen sein für dieses AI-Plugins, für LASPA-Plugins, für LASPA-Plugins, für VST-Plugins, für AU-Plugins, für alles. Eigentlich. Ich müsste es eigentlich, meines Erachtens. Weil es dann die breiteste Abdeckung hat, die meisten Möglichkeiten sich durchzusetzen. Weil es dann gegenüber allen anderen Programmen überlegen ist. Jetzt hat es nur LASPA, das LASPA, es gibt gerade LASPA-Plugins, davon sind 90% zu vergessen. Also in die Tonne zu treten. Und dann bleiben noch 30 über und davon sind welche Kiste, oder? Einfach doppelt draufklicken, läuft. Also seine Version hat nur ASA-Unterstützung, dann bietet er noch den Quellcode seines Jack-Clients an. Und damit man das in Jack einbinden kann, in dem professionellen Audiosystem von Linux. Jack ist das. Es geht, wie gesagt, auch mit ASA, aber dann ist die Performance natürlich praktisch als möglich. Ja, genau, Jack, also Jack. Jack ist die, wie soll ich das sagen, also ist dann das I.O.-System und Jack ist so eine Art Beschleunigung dieses I.O.-Systems. Das ist halt echtzeitmäßig beschleunigt, das ist richtig. Das kann also nicht, also auch unglaublich viele Latenz, auch über 20 Millisekunden, ja. Und wir brauchen Latenz um 10 Millisekunden. Das ist RT-Linux halt. Ja, aber nur in begrenzter Art und Weise. Der RT-Kernel, den wir anbieten, der ist halt extrem. Also es gibt drei Stufen und wir haben die höchste Stufe der Realtime verwirklicht.
Und das ist dann von eurem
Kopf? Nein. Der RT-Kernel ist da drauf. Ja. Also wenn man das installiert, dann kann man sogar noch, während des ersten Zeitprozesses, kann man auch noch zusätzlich den RT-Kernel installieren. So, man muss aber den Einzelnen installiert erst. Du, hohe Priester, hab Geheimnisse, obwohl wir einen exklusiven Mitarbeiter in unserem Team haben, haben wir echt die Schwierigkeiten, ein gewisses Rad für Geheimnisse zu machen. Nein, nicht erzählt werden. Wie das man wo sie das Kryptchen gelegt hat. Ja? Das ist ja nicht, wenn das Source-Code irgendwie zur Verfügung steht, aber du sind ja die Konfigurationsgeheimnisse, die ich untersteigst. Das ist wie sehr verschachtelt, sehr komplex und ja, wobei wir die machen. Und das nicht dokumentiert ist. Die Dokumentation ist unglaublich wichtig und Apple auch, ich meine, das ist toll im Offen. Das ist auch so LPI, wenn ich mir das nenne. So. Der hat wirklich die verrücktesten Sachen, so Abhängigkeit und alles Mögliche. Und kann irgendwie ein SUSE-Kernel mit allen Patches gleichzeitig auch hier theoretisch eingeht. Das ist der Wahnsinn. Aber das ist echt einfach nicht hinter. Also, steht der. Und von SUSE selber kriegen wir keine Antwort. Also es gibt keine Kommunikation zwischen OpenSUSE und Jack. Es gibt keine Kommunikation. Keine Kommunikation.
Ja, das ist aber zwischen
Nein, nein, nein. OpenSUSE wird gesponsert von Novel, aber ist auch wiederum ein freies System. Ne? Also,
Takashi, mein Gott! nichts mehr Strom. Ein Stecker durch. Warte. Für all die Devices auch noch. Wir haben noch Probleme.
Remove both of them because they are charged.
So okay, so they are only charged.
Yeah.
That would be good if there's some good taste. I'll try it without.
Genau, das kann man am besten reinstecken. Will you actually produce some sound so you can connect this one to whatever?
I was going to, so.
Okay, I'll just for the process of. It's all
okay.
And
let's see what I'm going to try. Something that probably nobody knows. That's all that always good.
Okay. This is your mic. It's important because
the internet for the internet stream. Okay. I'm not completely ready. Okay, power is great.
But a long cable is missing.
Thank you.
Should be enough.
Yeah, I have a shell which is waiting for the bouncing. Or sniffing. So.
Just the same.
Hardware port. Devices without exterior boxes. Bare naked hardware.
Cool. Yes.
That's very surprising that this works. The screen resolution is 1920 times.
Actually, it does not really work.
Yeah, it doesn't really work, but it's better than that one.
Just the same dump there, so I had to... Well, I couldn't use the full screen mode because half of the page was moving.
There's not a lot
missing here.
Well, a bit is.
Let's see. Just doesn't want to open.
Just save it to the USB drive.
Where's my presentation? Okay, so something is wrong and not good here.
What?
It just doesn't want to open my presentation.
Just, how about if you just copy it to the disk and then let's try it from there.
Do you need me?
I don't know. Peter?
Yeah.
RCA jack.
That's what we need.
Okay. Tell some jokes to the crowd.
Okay. Am I on? Yeah. Well, Peter is preparing for the next talk, where he is going to show that FireWire audio on Linux works now. Yes, I'm not sure whether this was mentioned already to this crowd of people. For the VPN network clients, some of you were given CDs to install the client. After you have done this, bring these CDs back to the info desk so that someone else can use them. Or give them to your neighbor who is definitely looking for this. Because we only have a few, and yeah, everyone wants at least to give a try to get on the way done. Okay.
Welcome, everybody. I'm going to put this on as it should. Okay.
Which one?
Try. The biggest one.
The biggest one?
Yeah. Am I understandable? Also for the virtual people back there, even further away than you guys? Oh, they're talking, so I guess the streaming team is not interested. Okay. Great. This one opens up. I've been doing the slides specially prepared for the internet talk, so white on black. I hope it's not a problem for readability for the users being physically here. And I also have to mention that all my slide making was rather last minute due to the fact that I also have a daytime job, which is neglected for this project already enough. So what is this all about? This demo I'm going to try, so to give a small user point of view of the FireWire audio on Linux support right now. And I am Peter Palmers. So by this explanation, the first slide is already covered. And at this point, this FireWire audio on Linux is called FreeBob. Originates from the fact that it's a free driver for the Bebop devices of BridgeCo. But everything changes. Oh, interesting. Oh, timing, that was a knot that should have been hidden. Okay, what am I going to talk about first? FireWire, very small introduction, FireWire on Linux. FireWire Audio on Linux with our 2 FreeBob version. Then some features, demos, and wish lists, but this is messed up because I didn't have time to meet. Well, we'll see what happens. What is FireWire? It's a high-performance peer-to-peer serial bus, auto-configuration, all these nifty features that make life for users easier and for developers a lot harder because everything can change and you are supposed to support people unplugging devices while wanting no dropouts on other devices and things like that. I can tell you in advance, we're not yet there. That's probably one of the last things we're going to support because it's, I personally think that the users actually doing this kind of hot plugging while doing critical recordings are rather low, non-numerous and stupid indeed as suggested here. So let's just focus on basic stuff first. FireWire is standardized as IEEE 1394, and it's also called iLink by Sony. So that's all the same. How does FireWire on Linux look like? It's split up in 2 parts, as everything, probably. The kernel modules and the user space libraries. Why do I explicitly say this? Because in this case, they're providing also user space libraries that are going to abstract the ABI from applications. It's a little bit like the difference between what ALSA does using libalsa and what OSS used to do, of I don't know what it is back now, but you had to work with the devices directly, if I'm not really wrong here. Basically, you need 2 parts. The kernel modules for FreeBob are these 3, OHCI 1394, IEEE 1394, and RAW 1394. The first one gives access to the host controller hardware, which is the card you're plugging into the PC, which is the first thing you see when you enter the computer through the FireWire plug. Let's say it like that. And then there's the IEEE 1394 module, which provides general bus and link management, which is, so this is decoupled from the hardware support. And then you need RAW 1394, which provides even a higher layer transaction. So it provides an abstraction for transactions and isochronous and other types of things. And then that covers the kernel part. One remark with respect to the kernel part is that in the future, this will be replaced by another kernel stack. Normally, user space should stay the same, and we are going to try to adapt to this new kernel stack because the performance of it is way better, or should be way better, especially for audio and low latency stuff. The user space libraries in this case are called libraw 1394, so that is to interface with the raw 1394, hiding the ABI, and then 2 utility libraries that depend on libraw 1394. This slide basically tries to provide you with an idea of what you need to get it all running. I'll come into more detail on that later. Why do I have this slide? Let's just skip it. What's the current status of the... I've warned you that my slides are a work in progress as much as... let's say that the code in FreeBob 1.x is of better quality than my slides. So this is already, I think it's half a year or 1.5 years that we released the real 1.0. I think it's half a year, 2006, that's half a year. Okay, so we released it about half a year ago, the FreeBob 1.x, which provides low-level device support for the Bebop platform. There's a little bit of difference what we do is provide support for the platform. And the platform is something like this, which is a development device. And this is sent a development board, and this is sent out to the people making the stuff like this. And then they take whatever they need, and they eliminate whatever they don't need. They rewrite a little bit of the software, and then that's sold as a device. We have the luck that the blessing and the curse that we're working with the platform vendors, and that there is a platform. This is a high plus, because we can implement the driver for the platform, and then it will probably work with the end user devices. Because the end user devices or the vendors do little customization to what the platform vendors sell them. And this means that usually they work out of the box. This, for example, works, has virtually no interface customizations. I can just plug it in and it works with the platform driver. Equally true for the Phase 88, it has only one customization, which is to switch on or off the phantom power supply on the XLR inputs. We don't need a lot of support from the hardware vendors, from the end point vendors to implement it, but we do need some. And this is, even this is difficult. So basically, platform support, it's okay because we can offer them something like, it's not much work to have your device supported. Can you please help us for a few email conversations? And then usually, hopefully, it works. But in this case, we only have the Bebop platform supported, which is one of the two big competitors. The other one is what I've been showing here. It's DICE. It works for 2 weeks now in the experimental code. And it's, if you combine the Bebop devices and the DICE-based devices, I think you have 80% of every all devices available now. So I think the coverage will be pretty good. Up till now, there are not much DICE devices, and most of them are Bebop or totally custom, which we cannot support yet because vendors don't want to. Like RME doesn't want to help us in any way, so it's not going to happen, I'm sorry. Reverse engineering is not my thing. I have plenty of work with this. What does it do, our current support? It does audio and MIDI streaming at all sample rates, which is, in my opinion, the most important part, and it's also the most difficult part to implement. We've done it as a Jack backend, because that's the easiest way of doing it. I have written an ELSA plugin, but it doesn't do what it should. So it's a little bit on hold now, priorities and things like that. And then the Jack backend got ported into a Jack MP backend due to some people requesting this. And this apparently works pretty good. It also supports multiple device setups, which is the case where you, for example, put three or four or two boxes on the same bus, and they will act as if they are one. So it combines all of these devices. The multiple device setup is a little bit flaky yet because of some really annoying things. For example, it's difficult to predict which device is going to be recognized as the first device. This is a very stupid problem, but it's not so stupid to solve, which is why it's postponed to 2.0 or 2.x. So the current support, I think my next slide is about the future. Okay. Future is FreeBop 2. It's a ground-up rewrite, especially from the streaming point of view, because in the first generation it was totally written specifically for what the streaming that is used in, this, in the Bebop devices. But what we target for FreeBop 2 is a framework, is actually a driver framework that is for FireWire audio. So we can do anything that is FireWire and audio. That's the idea. So we had to rewrite quite some parts of the code, and we did it. That's what my talk on Sunday is going to be about. So I'm not going to go into detail here. So we want to support Bebop, Dice, Motu, Metric Hello, and some others if they decide to change their mind, for example, RME. Bebop, Dice, and Motu are supported now in the experimental code. Metric Hello has contacted us if they want to provide their support, but there's not much moving anymore since they did, so I guess they're busy doing something else. But in theory, it's possible, and in practice also, hopefully. What does it provide? Basically the same as the first generation and some more. Also, some extra device configuration, or the device configuration you would expect, like mixer controls, synchronization choices, all these things. They are not present in the first generation due to the fact that this is the part that needs manufacturer information. Those are the mostly likely the customizations. Streaming is very generic. Okay. It's going to stay a user space library. We have done everything in user space, and I kind of like user space. I have some experience in kernel space, and it's, well, not that nice. It's easier. It has a downside. You need real-time kernels. You need real patched kernels, because otherwise you cannot meet the deadlines. But we have them, so why not do it? They are the desktop preempted and the real-time preempted kernels are good enough, more than good enough to be reliable. Audio APIs is the same. Jack and Jack MP will be the largest priority, I think. And if you want to use ELSA, maybe we'll someday write, we'll certainly write an ELSA plugin someday, especially if somebody steps up and says, hey, I want to do that. I might have a little present then for everybody that does such things. But you can also use the Jack plug plugin, and that apparently works fine. So it solves the problem, at least in a way. What's done for 2.x? The low-level interfaces are mostly done. So we know how to communicate with the devices. We know how to start the streaming. We know how to configure, or we have implementations that can configure mixers and things like that. The only problem is that we have to expose it to the outside. So the low-level interfacing is present, it works. The streaming is okay. It works for all devices that are in the list. Streaming goes all the way to the user, so Jack will work. But for device control, we currently have a little bit of problem because we want to design the APIs right from the first time, and that's a lot of work. And then, so the things we're now working on is, the low level is almost completely ready. So the external control API, we're designing it. It's not that easy to provide, for example, an API that can represent any mixer you can find in these devices. Note that we're probably not going to try and provide support for consumer or easy support for consumer devices, but we're more going to the multi-channel device, the pro device, having matrix mixers and well, will probably require some audio knowledge at the first step, some experience with things like a hardware mixer that you know your stuff. But I think it's not a really bad presumption, because people buying these devices are not the, how shall I say, like the Doom playing 5.7 surround system people. I don't think you're good when you do that. So that's our point of view is more the semi-pros that know what they're doing. Might be a little bit dangerous to say so, but anyway. And configuration persistence solves the issue of having a device that is, well, if you have multiple devices, you want to know which one is the first. And that's one of the things that's solved by the configuration persistence, also not a very trivial problem in this case. What is to be done? Metric Halo support. Once they provide us with the information and the devices, it can be done really fast, but it isn't yet. Actual applications to control this thing. It's nice to have an API that is encompassing everything, but then you still have to use it. So the question is, how are we going to do that? Are we going to come up with one control application that fits all, like ALSA is trying to do? Or are we going to make it easy to write a different control panel for every device that we support? For example, by having different descriptions or whatever. These are all decisions that have to be made. And if you have suggestions, I'm open to them. With respect to the streaming, we still need the ports and the plugin, so the JackMP backend ported for 2.x, and an ALSA plugin. And we also don't support SPDIF pass-through yet, which is a matter of just not being done yet, so the conversion is not ready. But it shouldn't be a lot of work, it's just lower priority. And then a port to the new kernel stack is also one of the things we would like to do. So people wanting to run FreeBOB 1.x might be an interesting slide. I will provide them for you. What do you need? You need a real-time patched kernel, desktop or real-time preemption, or complete preemption, or how is it called exactly? Otherwise, you're going to get dropouts. It's just going to happen, trust me. You need some method to gain non-root privileges, which non-root real-time privileges, which is maybe the obvious, but from user requests, it is apparently not very obvious. So some kind of way to do that, depending on your distribution. And then you need these libraries with these versions, and you need a check that is at least 0.100.11, which is already fairly old. Is this done?
It's done.
That's great. So that means that now I'm going to try and show you some things. Well, basically, it comes down to the fact that it's a very boring demo. It's just going to say, well, it works. Look, it works. There's one, at the end, hopefully one thing that is slightly interesting. Let's save this for the last. In order to be able to take this on the plane, I had to unscrew the front plate. So normally it's less ugly. This is a Terratec Phase 88 FireWire. I did bring the front plate. So, and it looks like this. And I'm not a marketeer. Unless, I don't work for any of these companies. You might think otherwise now, but I don't. Maybe if there are already some questions from somebody who has burning desire to ask me something.
What is the main difference?
Hello, hello. What is the main difference when we are looking at USB or comparing USB to FireWire? Why is it so much harder?
Well, for example, the main difference in that aspect between FireWire and USB, I have to make sure that I continue because otherwise I won't have, is that USB is host-centric. So it starts with a host and it has some, how is it called in USB language? It has some slave devices or whatever. While FireWire doesn't have a host, it's peer-to-peer. Everybody can be the mouse or the host. And that makes the protocols way more complex because you, for example, need to elect certain functionalities or certain roles need to be elected and things like that. Also, yeah, well, it's just not simple. I don't know why exactly they made it hard, probably to support a lot of unnecessary things. It's a difficult question to answer, except for the fact that peer-to-peer and this real hot plugging things are, yeah.
Maybe related to that, I think USB, there's a special USB definition. That's how USB devices should do audio, which works for USB 1, and I'm not sure whether that's there for FireWire.
It is, but unfortunately, this is streamed, so I don't really can express my opinion. No, the FireWire standards, my personal opinion is that they're, for with respect to audio devices, AVC, it's AVC by the 1394 trading organization. And I think they're overly complex. And you can have multiple interpretations of the same standard, which is basically, for me, the definition of a bad standard. But I haven't, I have said that. So I'm sorry for the people of the TA that are watching, but I think any standardization organization has issues with that, but I haven't ever seen it this bad. Too honest.
There's nothing like a class device?
There is a class driver, but what happens is, due to the fact that you can have a class driver, and that's what we're trying to aim for. But as you will soon notice, a class driver will require, for example, a discovery of about 1 minute of a device or 30 seconds of a device. So it takes 30 seconds before you can start your class driver due to the complexity. And the class driver itself, due to the fact that the standards are multi or can be have multiple interpretations, it's basically defined by Apple. So it's you might laugh about it, but that's what happens. All manufacturers make sure that their device works with the driver of Apple. And if it works with the driver of Apple, it's class compliant. Apple has one, Mac OS X has a FireWire device driver, and you plug your device in and it will work. And it's one device, you don't have to install anything. So that's basically a class driver, but the problem is that the subset of standards used to get to that class, it is not very obvious how to do the interpretation. And we're aiming for that, but it's if you're interested, join us. It's this pile of documentation that you have to work through just to understand what is going on. And then you have to restart because you've lost track somewhere in between it's really not something you want to do. But unfortunately, we have to.
But you did.
I have to give credit. I'm responsible for the streaming part, and the streaming part is well defined. You cannot interpret it different than in the standard. So that's easy. And that's why the DICE works so fast. It uses the same streaming protocol, but not the same discovery. So discovery is the standards that are a little bit complex. And streaming are well standardized, so you can. I just basically took the streaming code for the bebops and I used it for the DICE and it worked immediately. So that's what standards should result in. But I'm really sure that if we put on the firmware containing AVC discovery on the DICE device, it won't work with the bebop code. I'm 100% sure of that. And that's a shame. So now we're using the information from the DICE people themselves. So they have their own discovery algorithm and things like that, but it's way simpler than the AVC stuff. And that's what we use for this
Dice device. And that's good because the devices on the market now, based on that chip, have the proprietary firmware. So not the AVC compliant class firmware, which will happen eventually, but hopefully not too fast. But now I still haven't done anything. So first thing I'm going to try to show, giving Murphy some chances here. So if we're lucky, it works. Or I should be a little bit more confident.
How will we show the picture?
The picture? I think I'll just have to... you can get a distorted image out of it. So maybe people will believe me if I say that it's true. let's just try it. Okay, it somehow reflects to what you're used to, hopefully. If you start developing on such screens, you will probably go mad really soon. I had my power supply here. Off we go. Okay, so this is a Phase 88. It's a Bebop platform, 10 in, 10 out, of which two IOs are digital. I'm very lucky because this here says segmentation fault. So. Let's. The demo I'm going to provide is FreeBop 2. 1.0 is just working fine, and maybe some people here already run it. And the 2 is still very experimental, but contains the support for nice things. And it's just to convince you that it works. And very boring. But yeah. I just typed in the start command, and I'll show you when it starts streaming. So it's still discovering. It's still figuring out what's happening. This is AVC. Still. Okay, off we go. And if you change your sample rate, it starts all over again. So it's now running. Let's see. Hydrogen. Always interesting client. And what else than QJack control? Oh, I have to... Do we have a jack-jack connection here? Or is this connected to the speakers? Okay. Let's just try and... I had a plug like that. It might sound a little bit weird because these are balanced. Crossed. No. Ah, yeah. One channel of this. Okay. Now I'm already worried.
So off we go debugging this thing. What is happening here? Let's see if we have audio. Oh, I'm not seeing a lot of... Okay, off we go. Yeah, it's the right plug. But I, there's nothing entering here, so... have audio somewhere going out, so there's something wrong. Let's first try another device. Clause driver anyway, so should work. These things are usually not very good for your for trustworthiness, but what I've noticed that sometimes happens with the Phase 88 is that if you transport it, something the two device plates here get loose, and then it just the audio connection doesn't get routed to the interfacing board, so I'm going to check that later on. But first, I want something running. No driver. Power it on. And discovery starts again. This one has less channels, so less discovery. It will be a little bit faster. Yeah. Off we go. Oh, it changed sample rate, so it starts again. And now it won't work. Of course, it won't work. This is due to a small bug. Off we go. Not getting anything. Where did I put the small one? Do you hear? So apparently it's not me. Man, all of a sudden I don't feel as warm anymore. I don't know. Okay. Oh, this crappy organization. It's just a joke, huh? That's the relief. Oh, let better loop it. So now.
Nope. Wait, is it the right one?
I plugged in the non-green one.
The red one is plugged in.
Yeah, the non-green one is plugged in. I don't know, there's no red on this. Yeah. Now we get something. Ah! Off we go. Okay. Part one. This works. Okay, now, as I have this device connected, I'm going to show something else, yeah, which is a feature of the new version that I find a little bit interesting, to say at least. But I need some other cabling for that. With the help of my lovely assistant here, Mr. Sampo. So, how do you say your
my name?
Your name on the yeah.
Savolainen.
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 Okay. It's one of these names. I read them, I understand them, but I cannot pronounce them. So what we're going to do now is there's a mode built into the or. A design which was very straightforward due to the design of FireWire, and that is having okay, crash. There's something not really. What is happening here? Okay. What was I saying? Yeah. So, due to the fact that all communication between devices that is isochronous, meaning the protocol that's used for communication between of audio data, that's a broadcast communication, meaning that everybody can read it. So what we've implemented is, well, we've put two and two together, meaning that you have one computer talking to the device as normal, and then you have another computer discovering the capabilities of the device and then listening on every all traffic. The idea is to have, for example, if people want to have a backup recording of some session or whatever, or want to have two computers recording it because it should not go wrong in live situations or something like that. If one crashes, the other can continue. That's the basic idea. We're not completely there yet, but we can show that it does work. The problem up till now is that if the main machine goes down, there's no takeover mechanism for the second machine to take over the connection and act as if it's a master. So what this can do is avoid underrun issues, or at least make them fixable. The takeover mechanism will probably be implemented soon. Okay, we go for discovery again, and then it starts. Okay, no, you wait a second. I'm going to plug into yours first. Let's get something here. So it's running on one channel, front left, and now let's switch over the screen to Sampo's lovely laptop.
Did you break the loop?
No. Oh yeah, now I did. I think. Okay, so let's restart this.
Okay, we're running again. Where's my cue jack control? Gone. Problem with this kind of demos is probably that they're horribly boring. And I'm not really the person to start telling some interesting stories about my neighbor's cat or something like that. I can try to, which I'm doing now. Okay. We're live. Normally, what should happen now is that if he starts his instance of Jack, it will represent everything that's on the bus as input ports to Jack. First it's going to start discovering the device again, so figuring out what's the channel configuration and things like that, so that you don't have to specify it, it just happens. And then it starts, okay, off we go. And now the idea is that we start an order session that's to show you that it's actually coming in. So what you see is one channel having the audio, and now I'm going to introduce the right channel, and then the other one starts. So what basically happens is that if you would press record on this order workstation, it records everything that's present in both directions. So both from the PC to the device, as what is coming from the device to the PC or to the master machine. Something else that I would have liked to show, but it's just not stable enough, is having two is basically NetJack, but then over FireWire, which has some advantages in synchronization and things like that. The idea is that you can, for example, have a JackRec instance running on one machine and having your Ardour running on the other, or have a Linux sampler running on the one machine as a dedicated sampling, and you can just introduce it in your FireWire network where you have other devices, for example, I/O devices like the Phase 88 appearing in Q Jack control as... No, it's not running anymore in your case, I guess. So the FireWire devices interfaces appear in QJack control, and the computer or the second slave device will just appear as if it's, as if it's an interface. So that's a mode that we're working on, and I've got it running, but not to the extent that I'm confident enough that it will start up in this case. So there are still some serious issues to work out. One thing that also makes us stand out from the other operating system vendors is the fact that you have DICE devices, and I can show you that they work, but I will show you that we have DICE devices that work together with Bebop devices, which are competing products. I can also say that if you have two different vendor but same platform devices, for example, something from Focusrite and a Teratech Phase 88, that they will work together. There's one provision which I will give later on. But the key point is that what we're doing is so generic that you can have two totally incompatible devices working together, acting as if they are one. And it's something that is not possible on other operating systems. Maybe on macOS, if you use the platform class driver, it should be possible, because then there's no difference between the device. But I don't know, I don't have it, and I haven't tested that yet. So what I'm now going to try to do is generate a setup which has 36 IOs, I think. So
So that's the DICE device.
There's one little not really a problem, but a little issue is that you still need to provide external synchronization. So you need word clock synchronization in order for this to work. The FireWire specification gives an opportunity to avoid this, so to have the complete device synchronization also over the FireWire bus. But I haven't seen it working yet. So there's also on Windows or on macOS, it's not working. So I don't know to what extent that will ever work. So word clock might be the good option. This one, yeah. I'm going to restrict myself to showing that it starts and that it runs. Because otherwise, I will be connecting cables for a while in order to create something that actually makes use of such a device.
This is zero, right?
Yeah. Zero. Let's see what happens now. This is the discovery of the Phase 88. I think the discovery of the DICE is already done. It's already finished, or it's a blink of an eye. So that's the advantage of... All right. Are we running? No, we're not. Let me first check. One or more streams have not started. Okay, I see. It's not synchronized. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to finish my talk. Or do I stop now? Okay, give me 2 minutes. What's input here? Yeah, it should work. Come on, bitch. Okay, now it will work. So maybe I'll try and sum up what I'm trying to say here, and that is, first generation FreeBOP will work fine. I think there are testimonials in the room here of people that are using it, and it will work fine. There are some issues, but what doesn't have them? Okay, off we go. Lots of problems. And we're gone. Problem that you just saw was the fact that the two devices have to get synchronized towards each other, and that generates some underruns, and due to the fact that what you see here is a synchronization issue. Let's just say that this didn't happen before.
Okay.
I saw it working. So the second generation FreeBOP is a little bit experimental still, but the major part of the work is done. So, of the core work, we still need some high-level stuff, like mixer controls and stuff, and we would like some help with that. Okay, nope, this is not going to work, I'm sorry. Don't have time to solve it. And despite the small issues here, I hope I've convinced you that we're getting somewhere. Remember, the first version is already out, which is a good thing. This is development is top-notch, is stuff that isn't been done anywhere else yet.
We have one question, time for one question, and we have one from the IRC chat.
Yes, Paul Davis from Philadelphia in the US. Wanted to know how distributing audio like this compares with NetJack. How distributing audio in this way compares with doing it with NetJack.
I personally haven't used NetJack yet. The main difference would be that you don't need a lot of synchronization because it's built into the protocols. The FireWire provides you with a slot, a dedicated bandwidth slot every 125 microseconds. And you're guaranteed, if you reserve the bandwidth, you're guaranteed the bandwidth. And I think that is the major difference between NetJack and this. Is it not working? Everybody understands? I don't know which one it exactly. So the major difference between NetJack and this would be that you're guaranteed your bandwidth and that might be in practice or in reality it might not be that much of a problem if you have a dedicated gigabit network, but I don't know what the issues are with NetJack. I don't know it enough in order to give a really valid response to that question. I hope Paul is happy now. I could have expected something from him.
I guess Paul will tell us in a few tomorrow. Days. He's arriving tomorrow afternoon. Well, thanks again very much. There's a second talk which goes more into the technical details,
yeah.
Even more on
Sunday. Well, this was
Sunday.
Not technical at all. Not to this scare people off.
On Sunday, and Peter will be around on the conference all the time.
Apparently. No,
hopefully.
I will.
And yeah, he'll probably be able to answer any more questions directly.
Okay.
And
let me get this mess out of the way. Okay, thank you.
We will continue after a very short break to set the next talk up. So don't go away too far. If you want to see the next talk, we'll start in a moment.
What's the next talk?
The next talk is, let me get the title, Integrating Documentation and User Support and Developer Resources Using LinuxAudio.org.
practically typing. That's fine, I'll just go back.
Hello.
All right. Wait a minute. Hold on. I'll try to crank up my settings here. I can't do anything better than that. I mean, I can speak up. This is about as loud as it gets. Can you hear me okay? Oh, I hear myself.
Yes, Ico, we can hear you.
Well, I hear you through the presentation thing, through the AUG streaming, but I don't hear anything through the headphones, at least not yet. I hear some frantic typing.
That's Robin.